As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to No Bunts, the podcast for the casual baseball fan here on The Athletic Baseball Show. I'm Tass Mellis. With me in studio, it's super producer, JD.
Hello.
Hey, JD. And with us, my co-host all season long from Taiwan with a new backdrop if you're watching on YouTube, Joel McMillan. Joel, thanks for prettying up the place over there.
Glad you like it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You sent me a photo. Said you're ready to make some magic. It's the Toronto skyline with, the key being here, an open Rogers Center. Very nice stuff, Joel.
Glad you like it.
I love it. I don't like it. I absolutely love it. No Bunts is excited to be a part of the Athletic Baseball Show feed wherever you get your pods and on YouTube. Just search the Athletic Baseball Show to find us weekly in 2023. Well, every week. Except next week. Yeah, starting the season off with a bit of a thud. I apologize. I booked a vacation long ago before I realized we'd be doing this No Bunts here every week on Wednesdays. So I apologize. That's on me. That's on me, Joel. But we're going to have lots of fun after next week. And obviously on this preview, because it feels like the beginning of our season, Joel. We've already done a couple shows, but it just feels like we're stepping up to the plate. For opening pitcher. Maybe it's because we're talking about the season, but I'm excited. Before we get to the preview, just so you know, we won't be talking about the ins and outs every week of all the games. We'll be doing a lot of stuff around the game, you know, baseball superstitions, popping baseball packs, lots of other stuff. So we're looking forward to that every week. Again, except next week. We will be back in a couple of weeks. Coming up on this show, bold predictions, rookies to watch for, potential members of the 40-40 club. But let's keep it simple with the first question, Joel. Previewing this MLB season, what's going to be the biggest story in baseball?
For me, it's going to be to see how well this New York and San Diego experiment works out. They spent a lot of money in free agency. They were very aggressive, not only retaining some of their own talent, but, you know, signing free agents as well. We've never really seen teams be this aggressive during an offseason in terms of, like, signing players. So I'm really excited to see how this whole experiment works this year, because if San Diego and the Mets experience success, then maybe more teams in the future will be more apt to spend even more money in free agency and be more aggressive. But if it doesn't work out, then teams might have a bit of hesitancy in the future. So I'm curious to see if this great experiment works, where basically the Mets and the Padres are buying wins in the short term.
Yeah, wild to see what the Mets did with their starting rotation, getting a little bit older. I know for part of the year here, because they're a little bit older, because of the schedule and how it works out, they're going to go to six starters because they're ancient. Going to get Verlander, it is interesting. Obviously, the Padres going to get Xander Bogaerts. Is there one team you're a little higher on than the other?
I'm probably a little higher on the Padres, just because I just think they have a better lineup. They did better in the playoffs last year, head to head. The Padres beat the Mets. So I like the Padres better, and they're younger too. I think there's more injury concerns the way the Mets roster is constructed. So I like San Diego more.
Yeah, and as far as big stories goes, the return of Fernando Tatis, also a big story, kind of flying under the radar, I think, a little bit. But I'm excited to see that. I know after I come back on my vacation, I'm excited to jump over to the Braves Stadium because their home opener and home series is against the San Diego Padres. So looking forward to that. And I think that kind of ties into my big story of the 2023 MLB season. It's Shohei Ohtani's upcoming free agency. It's happening. This fall, he made it clear that he wants to win, and the Angels might not be doing that again this year, so it sure feels like he has made it as clear as possible that if they don't win, that he could be gone. And I think it's going to be hanging over the Angels. It's going to be hanging over baseball to some degree. If Mike Trout is great, which it sure feels like he'll be great coming off that WBC, he looks extremely healthy. I think it makes it even more of a story if they're closer to contention, or if they're in contention, if they're playing well. I think it'll kind of be like the Aaron Judge story last year. And I say it's tied into the Padres and the Mets because those are a couple teams that could want to sign him. I went through the teams that he met with in 2017 before signing with the Angels. He met with the Cubs, the Dodgers, who are interesting because they shed some payroll this offseason, the Mariners, the Giants, the Padres, and the Rangers. No Mets in there, but you'd imagine Steve Cohen would get involved here. Is there a favorite for you, Joel, or are you just looking forward to the Trout-Ohtani season? We don't need to talk about that because we'll probably be talking about it a lot this season.
Yeah, that'll be a storyline that everyone obviously is going to be following going into the season. Task for me, I think it's pretty simple. I can't see Ohtani staying with the Angels. I don't see them being a contender anytime soon. They've got a bad contract with Rondon at third base. He's not getting any younger. He's had some health issues. And Trout can't be Trout forever. You know, he's on the wrong side of 30. Not to say he's declining, but, you know, I think his best days are going to come to an end at some point. I still think he's the best position player. But just to touch really quickly, I think Ohtani goes to the Dodgers for at least $500 million, if not more.
That might stick in your craw a little bit too, Joel, because as we talked about last year on No Bunts, you know the Dodgers spend year in and year out. They just can't come up with these World Series victories as many to sort of just be worth every single dollar that they spend. I know that might stick in your craw, but as I said earlier, actually, they did shed some payroll. They got under the luxury tax threshold this offseason, so it would make sense. That prediction would make sense, Joel. Mm-hmm. I hope you're.
I just want to see Ohtani playing for a contending team. Like, I'm a very strong believer in that. Like, to grow a sport and to make a sport more popular, you need a superstar who's being seen all the time. Tess, we've talked about this, and you know, Ohtani's obviously a bona fide superstar, and putting him on the Dodgers, a contending team, you know, on national games, just increases more eyeballs on him, and so I absolutely want to see him on the Dodgers. I mean, my feelings aside, whatever, but I think he'd be a great fit in LA, and, you know, he'd get the attention that he deserved. And I think it would be great for baseball, actually, if he went to a huge market like the Dodgers.
I hear that. Now let's move on to Joel selling the people out there. Joel, tell me why I and every fan out there should be excited for this upcoming baseball season.
Well, Tats, there's a couple of reasons why you should be excited. I think two things stick out to me. The first thing is that you're going to see a quicker, more athletic game with more offense, more hits, not necessarily for power, but more contact hitting, more stolen bases. So you're going to see a very different product than you've seen in recent years with baseball. So that's something to be super excited about. The early returns from spring training seem to be very, very positive. And the other thing I would look forward to is, you know, Philadelphia was kind of a Cinderella story in some ways. This was, you know, 2022 is the first year of the expanded playoff format. And Philadelphia finished kind of in one of the lower seeds. And I think one of the things that'll be really exciting going into this season is, you know, maybe there were a couple fringe teams last year who thought, we're not good enough. I'm not sure. It's a bit of a risk. But then they saw what the Phillies did and basically took like a 6 seed or a 5 seed and got all the way to the World Series and basically 2 wins away from a World Series. So I think that's going to be another compelling storyline that is going to keep, you know, me excited. And I think a lot of baseball fans, because it's going to be a more active trade deadline, which I think makes for an exciting product as well. But that's not until the summertime.
That's all right. That's a good point. It should keep more fan bases involved. And not only the rule changes, one thing that I went through in preparation for this show that I saw, I totally had forgotten about, the schedule changes should also get people excited. For the first time, every team will play every other team at some point. Last year and in years past, the sked heavy with the all the division play, nearly half your team's games were against division opponents, and that's dropped, you know, down to 52, so like 13 per team. That's big, I think, as well as the rule changes. Of course, yeah. At last check, it shortened games by 25 minutes during spring training, and it would drop, you know, during the regular season from approximately like 306 per game, just down to 2 hours and 40 minutes. And I know angry baseball fans are saying, why are you messing with my game? Why are you ruining my game? We don't need clocks. We don't need all these pitch clocks. But you bring up a good game. It's a good point. It's not just about the clocks. It's about getting more of a flow. I think the hitters will be more involved. They'll be more in the box, more as we've seen in the minor leagues during the experiments for the pitch clock. You'll just see more balls in play. You'll see pitchers also get into a great flow. And the banning of the shift is also a huge part of that. Just having two guys on either side, you'll see more base hits because of that. It's going to make for a huge change. Will we see more outfield shifts? It's possible. There was a handful of outfield shifts in spring training, as Jason Stark documented on The Athletic. Pretty interesting. Basically having, you know, a short rover in one field, but that's unlikely to happen very much just because the penalty, the risk is too high. Having an entire outfield wide open, it's not like moving an infielder over where that would result in a single. Having an outfielder come over would be a double or triple. So I think it's just going to be a good flow. As long as they take care of all these rules and these timings in order, in a prompt order, I should say, because if you get into the nitty gritty of all the time changes and all the rule changes, you can go nuts because they've got clocks for a catcher. Let's say if he backs up first base, you know, he's got to be back in behind the plate, or if a pitcher covers for a first baseman, or they've even gone as far as talking about the bat boy and the bat girls and giving them basically keeping them on the clock to get back into position. So
wow.
It's a little bonkers. MLB has gone through it, and they even had all 30 managers on a call recently to go through the video review rules. Those have been quickened up. You gotta give the old headphones signal a little bit earlier. But anyway, enough with the rule changes. I do think it is good for baseball, and it could result in something extremely exciting, something I've always been obsessed with, Joel, the 40-40 club, because we have seen steals up in spring training. Is there a guy you could see joining the 40-40 club this season, Joel?
Yeah, I could see Kyle Tucker of the Houston Astros joining this. He hit 33 home runs last year, and he had 25 stolen bases, and that was the most stolen bases for any player who had hit 30 home runs or more. So I like Kyle Tucker. I think he's a logical and good choice. I still think he's well on his way to hitting his peak. We haven't seen the best out of him. He's a very athletic player, and I think he's a good choice to, you know, yeah, to make it to the 40-40 club. So I'm going to go with Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, so I checked that out. As soon as you said Kyle Tucker, I said, is it possible this guy hits as many dingers as what's needed to get to 40? Because I saw him in the postseason last year. He just looks like a very thin dude, but yeah, he's tall but powerful. 6'4", 199 after I checked, and yeah, he's got the stats to back it up for the Astros, so that's very possible. I'll go with an obvious one. Ronald Acuña here in Atlanta. He's the only guy to be part of the 35-35 club as far as active players go. So he's the only guy to actually get close. He had 41 and 37 in 2019. So he was pretty close. And when Ozzie Albies, his teammate, was interviewed by Jason Stark, Ozzie Albies got a he got a little bit excited. Maybe it might be the spring training juice, but he said, oh yeah, Acuña's doing it. Michael Harris is doing it, and I'm doing it. A bit of a stretch, probably. Ooh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he said his goal is 40-40, although the more realistic goal for Albies is probably 30-30. But steal attempts are up, Joel, about 50%, which isn't a ton because it's only about 2.5 per game. But they are up, and the limit in pickoff attempts, which is should be good for the game, will increase those numbers. So hopefully we'll see one. You can't expect three per team like Ozzie Albies is, but no. That's probably enough. So you got Tucker. I took the obvious one with Acuña. I stole your obvious one. You had him in the document first, but we battled it out, and I stole him. Can you name the four guys that are part of the 40-40 club, Joel?
Oh, Taz.
Come on, Joel.
Surprising me.
Come on, you got this.
Jose Canseco, is he one of them?
Yes.
Okay, Jose Canseco.
Didn't even tell JD the trivia was coming, but here it is. Trivia music for you, Joel.
Okay, Jose Canseco, 40 club. Ken Griffey Jr.?
No.
Hank Aaron?
No, sir.
Oh my gosh, you got the music going. I feel so much pressure now. Taz, can you give me a clue? I'm struggling here.
In the Hank Aaron realm of home run lists, that big, way over 700.
Way over 700. Way over 700?
Yep.
I don't know, Taz. I'm trying to
Bonzi,
blank.
Bonzi
here.
Did it.
Oh, Barry Bonds. Okay. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Bonds did it.
Of course. And A-Rod. And Alfonso Soriano. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I never would have got that.
Really? See, no. it's an obsession for me. So maybe you can ask me any other baseball question. I wouldn't get it. But that's just the one I know.
Okay. All right. When did Bonds test? Just really quickly. When did Bonds have a 40-40 season? What year?
Well, Jolie, I can find that out for you. You know, it was one of those good years. 96. We're going way back.
96. Okay, yeah, so he would have been in San Francisco by then. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was, yeah. There you go. There you go, Joel. All right. Let's move on here. Another preview question for you. What kind of a rub will MLB get from a great WBC?
I think they're going to get a huge rub from the WBC. It was a fantastic tournament. I know we talked about it in the first couple episodes. There was a great buzz, you know, I would say before, during, and even after. I mean, people are still, you know, kind of talking about it. It still is kind of being reported, although now it's more about season previews. But yeah, I think they're going to get a great rub. It was a great showcase. The WBC was a great showcase, created a lot of momentum going into the season. And baseball tests, it seems like, you know, based on just, and this was, you know, going through YouTube, you know, and watching some videos in the days following WBC, but you know, Fox and ESPN, and there's other sports reporters talking about this, and they generally don't talk about baseball. And so it's good that, you know, Tass, like, finally baseball kind of feels like it's back in a way, and it's starting to be talked about and appreciated nationally again, something that it hasn't been, I feel, in quite some time.
It's true. I think it has expanded the dialogue to people outside of the standard conversation. I even think that the advertising for the MLB season, I know that might sound weird, is different. I just feel like they're doing such a good job of really developing the players' personalities and just showcasing them. I think that's that's been monstrous. I think that's happened more and more and more. I know I said the advertising is different. I think it's helps. I think it helps. I think it made me even look up how to pronounce Sebastian Maniscalco's last name, the comedian. I've always admired him from afar, but never went out to look at how you pronounced his last name. But I saw him in an MLB ad yelling at kids. I looked it up. I thought that a great ad, Bryan Cranston in an ad. I do think they're doing a good job of really just showcasing all those personalities. They're doing so well in terms of miking guys up. And I feel like they haven't done that in the past. I think that's something that's pretty new in baseball. Is that a fair thing to say, Joel?
Yeah, Tess, and just kind of to piggyback off that point, I totally agree. The production value in baseball on television has increased exponentially through, like, the production of the shows, just like what the announcers talk about, the camera angles. It feels fast. It feels younger. It feels hipper. And I really kind of noticed that during the WBC and, you know, making these, I don't know if accessible is the right word, through, you know, having them mic'd up, but it makes them, I kind of feel, more relatable. And I think that, you know, the MLB needs more of this going into the season to grow their game. I think they're doing a great job, but I think they could be doing more. But yes, the product from, like, a production standpoint has changed quite a bit. And I think it looks great so far.
That's why it sucked me in. It sucked me into doing a baseball show from March through November for the first time. We dabbled last year, a little July, a little August, a little September. But, hey, Maniscalco got me. The mic'd up sessions got me. And we're in for it, Joel. We're in for a season here, and it should be a good one. And let's talk about it a little bit more after the break. We'll have a quick one, but after it, best rookies, players who will outperform expectations, and more. We'll be right back.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, back with No Bunts. Let's get bold, Joel. Our next question here. What's a bold prediction you want to make for the 2023 MLB season? Go ahead, Joel. Bold it up.
Yes, I love making bold predictions because I'm so awful at them, and I like to laugh when none of them come true and just see how comically bad they were. So this is my bold prediction for this year. The American League East will have four playoff teams, and I believe they're going to be New York, Tampa Bay, Toronto, and I'm actually going to say Baltimore gets one of the wild card spots as well. So my choice, or my bold pick, is, yeah, the AL East gets four playoff teams.
That's a big number. That's a very big number. Any worries with the Yankees pitching staff and all their injuries? Montas, probably done for the season. Rodon, probably done for April. Now Severino, missing time, but they probably have enough depth. They got it all, those Yanks.
Yeah, every time you want to kind of count the Yankees out, I feel they always kind of come back and prove, you know, why that's a bad thing. I'm not really worried about New York. I mean, they'll have injuries. But yeah, you know, Tess, just getting back to that point, like I truly feel the American League East could field four playoff teams. Because really, like, you know, Baltimore, I think it comes down to, you know, like I said, Toronto, Tampa Bay, and the Yankees, I think, are locks. And then Cleveland's obviously going to get one. I think Houston's going to win the West. And so that leaves kind of one more playoff team. And I think it's going to be a mix of possibly Texas, but Texas, Baltimore, the White Sox, and the Mariners. And when you look at those four teams and the way they're projected, it's bold, but I like the way Baltimore looks this year. They've got a very good young team. They've got two big rookies starting this year. Adley Rutschman looks fantastic. So, and Tass, like, Baltimore didn't miss the playoffs by much last year.
No.
They had the 10th best bullpen by Fangraphs. So I expect them to make the playoffs.
All right. I'll throw a different type of bold prediction out there. I think there'll be an inside the park home run in that stadium that's right behind you, Joel, in the first month of the season in Rogers Center. I think a ball will be bouncing around the outfield with the new dimension and the new caroms and the new walls that they've got going on out there. And the player just won't play it right. It'll probably be an opposing player, but even it could be a Jays outfielder because they get in there real late to start the season and somebody's just going to screw up out there. And we're going to see an inside the parker nice and early in the season. And they only have four series at home, but seems like it's going to be a bit of a rattler out there in that outfield with the new dimensions and the fact that they changed it up out there. For the first time, if I'm correct, since they opened the stadium, Joel, is that fair to say? I don't think that they've changed anything but, you know, put a see-through fence on the outfield for the bullpens. But otherwise, they didn't change anything until this year, which is, you know, bringing a couple of the fences in a little bit, changing the wall heights, and making things a little bit different out there. Well, first, are you too much of a traditionalist to be okay with the changing of the walls, or is that cool with you?
I'm fine with that. Change is good. I saw, like, when they released kind of the artist sketches of what it was going to look like last season, I thought it looked good. I'm excited to see what it looks like. I'm sure players will be some adjustments that, you know, the Blue Jays outfielders as well as opposing players will learn that they'll learn how to make it. But, you know, generally speaking, yeah, I'm excited to see how it's going to play.
Well, you're going to see an inside the parker, Joel. That's what I think. It feels like it's a bold prediction.
Who's going to hit it?
Good question. You need some speed. Kiermaier.
I like that pick.
Long fly. Right center. Bounces twice before hitting the wall. No, that's too many bounces. Let's go off the wall. Flies back towards center field from right center. Standing. Doesn't even have to slide at home.
Oh, okay.
Is that bold enough? How many inside the parkers do we have a season? Because I didn't look that up before making this bold prediction.
Ooh, average test. I'm going to just guess there's on average 4 inside the park home runs each year, and I'm totally guessing.
Okay. I appreciate that guess. We had one in the postseason, right? Real Maiuto had one, right?
Oh, yeah, I believe so, yeah. I think the outfielder misplayed it, though. Like, he misread it or misplayed the ball, and yeah, it was a Little Leaguer home run, yeah.
That's allowed. That qualifies. It still qualifies, yeah. All right, next question here in our preview. Who's the player who will outperform expectations?
Sticking kind of with my Baltimore theme, I'm going to go with Adley Rutschman. He had a great rookie season. Julio Rodriguez got all of the hype and the attention, and I guess in a way, like, rightfully so. But Adley had a monster season. He came up at the end of June and put up very, very similar numbers as well as advanced stats to Julio Rodriguez. This is a guy that, you know, no one's really talking about yet, but I think he's going to be a guy, even though he's a second-year player, I think he's going to outperform expectations. I think he's going to be the key to Baltimore's success this year offensively. So I expect him to outperform expectations. I personally have high expectations for him, but I think he can even exceed those.
Whenever I see Adley Rutschman's name, I think of that crazy, crazy stat that the Baltimore broadcast put out last year. If you remember, they put it on their broadcast, the most career home runs by players whose last names start with RUT. That was a stat that they put on their broadcast. Babe Ruth leading the way, of course.
Really?
Rutledge and then Rutschman. Yeah.
Okay.
So good luck to him. I did see that Steamer projections project him to be the best catcher in baseball this season. I also just wanted to say Steamer projections. So that's a good pick, a very good pick. For my pick, when I talk about this show, I always say, you know, we're not going to talk about the fifth best pitcher, the fifth starting pitcher on any team, but let's talk about the fifth starting pitcher on the Toronto Blue Jays. I think Yusei Kikuchi is going to have a bounce back season. It was disappointing last year, had to go to the bullpen, but so far in preseason, he seems like one of those guys that's really going to benefit from the pitch clock. Because in spring training, he's working faster and he's delivering the goods. And maybe it's overthinking it when he had all the time in the world, but he looks so good. He had 9 Ks in his last start, and he has a 1.00 ERA through spring training. And I think he's just going to be really solid. And he's got that 5 spot locked up with a very, 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 very starting rotation for the Toronto Blue Jays. And it's weird. He had a really weird year because he bounced to the bullpen and he still had 123 Ks in 100 innings. So a 27.3% strikeout rate. I thought that was high. It kind of gets bumped up because he was in the bullpen, but I think he'll bounce back, Joel, and hopefully Berríos joins him there in the bounce back category. But he looks good out there, and so I think last year could have just been a blip for him. All right, let's jump over to the rookie category. Who's a rookie to watch, Joel?
Task for me, it's Anthony Volpe of the New York Yankees. I think it was just recently announced that he's going to make the opening day team. The shortstop position for the Yankees has been one that they've struggled to fill since Gregorius left. And they just really didn't get any offensive production from that position last year. The Yankees were 24th in overall WAR at the shortstop position. And with Josh Donaldson looking like he's regressed quite a bit offensively, I know they're like, oh, he could bounce back this year. But, you know, as it stands right now, they really don't have a lot of offensive production from the left side of the diamond. So Volpe's a guy that interests me because, you know, Tess, there's championship expectations with the Yankees this year, and they need to have a deeper roster offensively if they're going to be able to compete with Houston and then even make a run at a World Series. So is this the kid that's going to do it? There's a lot of attention around him. You know, people are saying he's going to be a really good player. But, you know, again, like, he's an unproven rookie. So I'm going to be interested to see in Volpe and see how he handles this season.
He has made the Major League roster, as you said, Joel. I don't know if you saw how they announced it, but they set up a camera to film a conversation between Aaron Boone telling him he made the team. And it was, you know, a fly on the wall type camera in the manager's office. And did you see this?
I did not know.
Okay, so Boone sat him down and he said initially, well, this is going to be a tough conversation to have. And, you know, making it seem obviously like he didn't make the team, basically saying, you know, you've done great. got all the tools, but you can never have enough development. So there's 20 games down in AAA, but you made the team. And so at first he was heartbroken. He said, my heart was beating real fast. But Boone broke it to him. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know how I feel about the fly on the wall type camera. You're shaking your head. Not good with it?
I don't like that stuff. And also too, like once in a while, it's okay when it's, if you want to do once in a while, but I feel this, I see this a lot on social media now where they're telling a rookie, you know, he's made the team, or, you know, they do something like this. And it, like, of course it's a feel good moment, but I feel like it's becoming a bit too saturated and it's taking away from a bit of it. Yeah. I'm personally not a fan. But if other people like it, you know, so be it.
Yeah, it was interesting because Boone didn't do a great job with it, to be honest. He kind of stumbled and bumbled his way through it. And, it just didn't feel right. Didn't feel authentic. I think they should get an actor in there. A guy who looks exactly like the manager to make it happen. But anyway, I didn't realize it was a saturated thing. I'll keep an eye out for it. That was my first, to be honest. So,
okay. I've seen a couple of them.
Okay. All right. Speaking of not their first, I'm going with Gunnar Henderson of the Orioles, sticking with your Orioles. He played a lot last year, but he's still a rookie. What up with that? 34 games and 132 plate appearances. So, I remember him last year. Number one, I saw his name. The guy's name is Gunnar Henderson. I do believe that's his given name. He's going to play the left side of the infield. He runs well and can hit, obviously. So that's an easy pick. I've seen a lot of people make that pick, Joel. So it looks like your Orioles pick is a solid one. Another guy in the AL East, actually, who made the team, Tristan Casas of the Red Sox. He's got plate discipline, I hear, and he can also slug. So he could, because he's got such great discipline and power, he could lead off. He could hit in the middle of the order. He's that good. And I'll stay here just because I'm listing guys now. Stay here in Atlanta. Kyle Wright is on the injured list, so the Braves have a couple lefties they're calling up, Jared Schuster and Dylan Dodd. Last year, they had Michael Harris as the winner in the NL, and Spencer Strider as the runner-up in the NL for Rookie of the Year. So maybe one of these guys sticks around and impresses. Seems like they've got a good track record of producing rooks. So there's some options for you to keep an eye out for. All right, last question here. You wanted to include this, Joel, and I want to fight about it now. Is the U.S. market saturated? Should the MLB look to grow internationally?
I know, Tess, I know you and I don't agree on this, but I think they do. I think now is the time to do it. I think the U.S. market is just oversaturated in general with entertainment options, not only as it relates to sports. I think you saw the interest at the WBC. There's an international hunger for the sport, and I think now is the time for baseball to start making inroads in places like Europe, greater inroads in places like East Asia, as well as, you know, South America and Central America. I think now's the time to kind of make that move. The NFL does games abroad. The NHL does games abroad. I believe the NBA does games abroad as well, and MLB has. So I think everyone's kind of shifting in that direction. I just do think, the U.S. market is oversaturated at this point, and going international isn't the worst idea in terms of trying to, you know, create new revenue streams and get new fans.
There's no doubt about that. I totally agree with that. They are playing a couple games in London this June. It's the Cards and the Cubs, but you're going to tell me from over there that the American landscape is too oversaturated? We've got about six football leagues popping up. American football, Joel, if you didn't know. There's XFL, there's USFL. There's so many options out there. And I just think going back to the promotion of the game – that I was talking about earlier with Cranston and Maniscalco, and just selling the game. I think they're doing a much better job of that. And there is a fan base that is untapped. You're looking at them right here. This is the most excited I've been for a baseball season since I can remember. It's been a very long time, and I think they're already doing it here in North America with just improving the game, making it feel a little bit more like the old days when I fell in love with the game, mm-hmm. just a faster pace and just a sort of look and feel of guys playing baseball rather than scratching themselves a little bit. I don't expect them to be playing catch like they did, pitcher, catcher, catch like they did a long, long time ago, but there's a balance, and I just think that they're already doing it, and sports fans will consume any sport. And so I think baseball here is, of course you've got to tap the international market. There's no doubt they should. But I'm telling you, Joel, you'll come over here if you come back, and you'll start falling in love. You'll just be watching sports 24 hours a day because there's a billion sports options. And of course, baseball will be one of them. And I think they are tapping into, again, fans that may have not watched it before. So TBD on this one, but they are doing a really good job of it, as you said as well. We talked about it a lot last year during the postseason, the camera angles, the mic'd up segments, how everything looks. It is just a better product in general, and you start to appreciate how good these players are more and more. And yeah, I think they've got an exciting 2023 ahead, as do we here on No Bunts. So stick around. One more topic when we come back. Joel's going to tell us why he ended up in Taiwan, because we've had some people asking, Joel. And so you got to answer that question when we come back.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort, but it's possible to have it both ways. I'm all set for summer thanks to Mack Weldon. The Vesper polo shirt is so breathable you can wear it on the golf course, but it looks classy enough to wear to a party. The Maverick Tech chino short is ultra flexible, and the Pima crew neck t-shirt is perfect for those casual weekends. There's no need to be uncomfortable in your clothing ever again. Some guys just want to look good without calling attention to themselves. Mack Weldon apparel gives you understated good looks for understated confidence. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. Breathable underwear that keeps you cool, dry, and comfy all day. Crazy comfortable but elevated sweatpants. An upgraded classic polo with antimicrobial silver threads. An ultra-soft antimicrobial tee for when you need to stay fresh longer. That's the Silver Crew Neck T-shirt. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code MLBSHOW. That's MackWeldon.com. Promo code MLB Show.
Welcome back to No Bunts. A little behind the scenes. We're pre-recording this a couple days early. So when you're hearing this, opening day may have already happened. Opening day may be tomorrow. Joel, how pumped are you for opening day of baseball, where all 30 teams for the first time in MLB history will be playing?
I'm excited. Bring it on. You know, especially after this great tournament we just had, I'm stoked. There's a huge hunger for it. I know the Jays, my team, we start on a huge road trip because I don't think they're quite done the renovations yet, but I can't wait. You know, this is always an exciting time of year. And just really excited to start the season. I mean, hope always springs eternal, you know, at the beginning of the year, and I can't wait to get it going.
Oh, that is, good point that the Jays are starting on the long road trip because, in part, they're not done the renos at the Rogers Center, and they're only not done because they scheduled it for them not to be home for the first 10 days. That's how things work. If they scheduled it on opening day for them to be home, they would have been done, right? They have no choice. And why are they not done? They last played baseball a long time ago.
I don't know. I wish I had the answers.
Well, your backdrop is done, Joel. So, do you have the new dimensions on your backdrop of the fence?
I'll have to order a new one. Yeah, once the new amenities are put in, I'll take this backdrop down. I'll get a new one.
Yeah, you'll get it sent from North America to Taiwan, where you ended up. And we have had people asking, why does Joel live in Taiwan? So we needed to address them here before the season started. Joel, do you mind answering that question? If you don't, then just say no and we'll move on.
No, Tess, the answer is simple. Outstanding warrants. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I've lived in a couple countries. I lived in Japan. I've lived in Germany. I've lived in Australia. And I lived in Taiwan. I just had friends who I went to college with, and they were working here, and they sang its praises. And I was back home at the time. I had come home from Germany, and I was working for a few years because I had quite a lot of student debt at the time. And I just kind of got sick of that and moved to Taiwan, basically because I had a connection here. I didn't anticipate on staying as long as I have. This May will be 10 years. I can't believe that. It's very hard to believe and say out loud. But I just like life overseas. I've lived overseas most of my adult life. It's very fun. I enjoy it. I'll come home hopefully at some point. But Taiwan's a great place to live. It's home to me. And it's just a good life here.
You come home and you come to Atlanta pretty regularly. So we'll see you here in the studio later this season, I'm sure. Still plan to come down south?
I hope so, Tess. I hope so. Yeah, it's been some long flights. I've flown during COVID, and it's been a bit of a challenge. So, there's a good chance, high probability, Tess, you're gonna see this beautiful face in person in 2023.
But some slight hesitancy, because it's not a lock. I'm really grilling you here, Joel. But is there some chance that you won't be here? Is that what you're saying?
I want to come, Tass. I'm old. I hate flying. You know, like I just hate flying.
Okay, well,
but I'll come. I'll come for you. Atlanta's got great food, and it's also got some great friends. So I'm gonna come. We'll lock it up.
I've never heard you hesitate when talking about coming home. Maybe I shouldn't be asking you at what is 1 a.m. in the morning over there. So right now, yeah, behind the scenes, it's a late one for you. Usually we're filming. Cats just have been fed dinner, and that's what we'll be doing throughout the regular season. But right now, yeah, that's a mistake asking you at 1 a.m. I'll ask you on a regular show. Things will be a little different, I imagine. Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, Tess, I'm not tired. I got my second win here. I got my second win. So if you want to keep going, let's go.
You want to go? Doubleheader?
Oh, doubleheader. Whoa. Hold on. I'm going to have to do some light stretching.
We won't do that to you, Joel. We will be back with you in a couple of weeks' time. Thank you to everybody who joined us today. Make sure to subscribe to The Athletic MLB Show wherever you get your pods or on YouTube. It's been fun. Again, no show next week, but we will see you in 2 weeks. See you then.